boots and hose.
You're starting it with that. Okay.
Sorry.
John this and Brian here with the Toddcast.
This is not boats and hose. Though that would be fun.
Although people just turned off. All right, I got.
Wrong. This is not the Boats and Hose podcast. Although some people could probably think it is. But anyway, because I'm the boat. You want to be the boat?
I might as well be the
boat. Okay, you be the boat.
You have to have sex to be a hoe.
There we go. But yeah, but I'm married.
So. Well, we're both boats.
Welcome to the Boats Podcast.
The Boats Podcast.
Anyway. It's the Toddcast coming at you.
The Dry Dock Podcast.
Yes. There we go. Anyway. All right, we're going to talk about some fun stuff this week. So it's been a while. I know we're really trying to keep this at least bi-weekly, but sometimes we can't.
We shouldn't even bother saying that
anymore.
We're
really sorry, guys. We're just going to get to them as much as we can.
Yeah.
So we have some cool stuff coming up. This Saturday is Free Graphic Novel Day.
Awesome.
September 3rd. September 4th is Cranberry's Labor Day Cookout and Nerd Flea Market.
Ooh,
so if you have random stuff cluttering up your house that's nerdy, it has to be nerdy. Like, it has to be like comics, toys, statues, stuff like that. It can't be like crafts or anything like that. We don't want like this. I mean, it's a flea market, but it's a nerd flea market. Right. Like, it's got to be real like nerdy. Then contact Cranberry, call Ken up there, email the store. It's cranberry@ndcomics.com. They will hook you up with a table. There's not many left, and I think tables are only $5.
That's pretty good, yeah.
But it is only Sunday.
Okay.
Like, both the cookout and the other thing are both Sunday only. So definitely go and check that out. It's going to be a good time.
To back it up just a bit, to clarification, for those that, you know, listen to podcasts but may not have ever come in for it, the Free Graphic Novel Day, you get one free graphic novel novel table that will be set up in your stores just for walking in the door. You get one for free walking in the door of select off the table. It's always a wide selection, kid-friendly, non-kid-friendly, Marvel, DC,
it's either a table or a rack. Like, we have a select section.
Yep. And then, I believe this is standard for all stores, that you get an additional one for $5 off that table when you buy a normal trade off the trade wall.
Is that just us? Every trade that you buy, period, gets you another one off the table.
Go into that. But,
if you wanted to buy, say you liked three books on the table and you didn't want anything else off the wall and you're kind of, you know, strapped for cash, you can get your free one for coming in, buy one of those for $5, and then get the third one off the table for free. So all three would have to come off of the table for $5 plus tax, depending on your local NDC.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how that works.
Right. Yeah.
And then if they bought anything off the wall, they get another one off the table. For every trade you buy that day, you get a free one off the select section.
But you always get one just for walking in the door.
Yeah. It's something cool. We do it twice a year. We do have some new stuff in there. I know this personally because I drop them off to everybody. So check it out. And then also with Cranberry's Cookout, they have some sales going on. First off, there's free hot dogs. Who doesn't like free hot dogs?
Right.
Chef Ken will be out there cooking free hot dogs from noon to 6. We're giving away prizes every half hour. We have dollar comics on sale for 50 cents. 30% off regular back issues, 20% off all Silver Age. And we just swapped our Silver Age, so go check them out.
Mm-hmm.
And then 10% off all toys, graphic novels, games, and statues. All day long, only in Cranberry, only on Sunday. It's going to be a good time. So, and I know we're going to tentatively have some cool new toy collection selection that is coming in that should be out there for that. It'll be sidewalk style. But it's going to be a lot of fun. So make sure you check it out. After that, we have the Magic the Gathering Kaladesh pre-release. It's the 24th of this month. Woot.
Next month, technically.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry. It's still not September.
No.
We have two more days. So, September 24th, Kaladesh pre-release. Check out your local NDC. Most stores are at least doing one, if not three events. Elwood City will actually be getting to do a pre-release this year.
Wow.
So, that's kind of cool. It's also our legendary basement sale day in Elwood City.
Oh, it is.
So, while you're there, make sure you check out the basement sale so you can shop something like 500,000 plus comics that are all sorted in the basement. We only open it three times a year, and it's rarely open to staff even. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to get permission from Todd to go down there when it's non-basement sale day. Mm-hmm. And also, the upstairs has been newly refreshed last month, or mid this month, so like 3 weeks ago. We refreshed the whole upstairs except for the sorted section, so there's now a sorted section upstairs and downstairs.
Nice.
And a whole bunch of refreshed stuff on the outer walls, plus the basement sorted. Everything's a dollar. The box deal is, I believe, $250 for a box, for a long box. And then I'll be there running the Kaladesh pre-release. So awesome. Fun yeah. times. Then after that, it's Century 3's anniversary sale in October. So go check that out. It's also New York Comic Con weekend soon. It's all coming so fast.
It is. The year's so flying by. I don't want summer to be done.
I know, right? It's crazy. So, all right. So let's talk about some comics, I guess. Right?
Nothing. That's what we
yeah,
do.
Sure. Sure. Right. I'll go first.
Okay.
Let's see here. What do I want to talk about? I'll go from least favorite to favorite.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll start with Blue Beetle Rebirth. Not to say that I didn't like the book, because I like the book. It's just not my favorite of the three that I'm going to talk about.
Right.
It's kind of cool because you got both the modern and the Silver Age Blue Beetles. You have Reyes and Ted Kord both in the same thing. It gives a little bit of a where they are now type of thing. So, like, Jaime, I guess, is working for Ted Kord, and they're the Blue Beetles together. So they're like flying like the bug, the giant beetle Ted Kord flew around in.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he calls it like their mobile bat cave.
Mm.
He's like, who wouldn't want a flying bat cave? I was like, all right, that's pretty funny. Keith Giffen writes this book. Who did the art? Scott Collins. I really like the art. It's kind of interesting. It's kind of like a more of a fresh, young vibe to it. The script's pretty good. It pulls you in. It's definitely a setup book. It definitely feels like both of those Blue Beetles. So if you've read any of the other stuff, you'll like this stuff. And like the whole premise is like they're fighting these dudes and they find out they're robots, and then they're just trying to figure it out, but they're like, what robots? What's going on? So it's just kind of a setup to see that they're working together. I really dug it. The art was really good. Dr. Fate makes an appearance and stuff. So what he brings into that's kind of cool. It's like the second last page, and then the last page is the reveal of who the villain is. I will actually not spoil that this time.
Cool.
It was fun. It was cute, fun. It was very. It felt more like Reyes Blue Beetle than Ted Kord Blue Beetle, because Ted's not really in it a lot.
Okay.
But he's in it enough to like kind of push the story along. Like I kind of want to see a little more Ted, mostly because like we've had Reyes for what 10, 15 years now.
No. Oh, okay.
Like he's been around a while. And might even be longer than that, but you know, he's been the Blue Beetle for a long time, and I kind of miss Ted Kord being there. So this way, sorry, we're both really tired. Yeah. We're up really early.
It's my fault because I keep putting the mic away from my face while I yawn, and that makes him yawn.
It's all right. There's it's like 12:30 in the afternoon as we're recording this, and we're both like, oh my god, I'm so tired. Oh my god. But so we're getting there. We're trying. Go ahead, your turn.
Okay. So my first book is Ghostbusters International number 8. This one is like, it's like kind of subtitled. It's like New York, There's No Place Like Home. Let's see here. So it's Burnham, Schoing, and Delgado. It's the creative team behind it. I'm a big fan of this. I'm not like more than just this run, but I mean the whole Ghostbusters comic book. Starting with, and there's actually a really handy chart in the back of all the Ghostbusters, like it's called a reader's guide. Back with volume 1, which is Man from the Mirror, that run till now I have in all the trade paperback form, and it's just a really, I love the artwork. It's a lot of fun. The character development is good. They feel like the characters from the movies a little bit, but with a slight take on it. Like, it's supposed to be the characters from the movie.
Right.
Continuing on after two. But sometimes Peter doesn't feel quite like a Bill Murray character, but, like, Ray's pretty good. Winston's a strong character. And Egon kind of feels like Harold Ramis is Egon, you know, a little bit.
Right, right.
So the premise of this run is Ghostbusters International. So what happens is they get a client that says that tries to buy them outright, and you know and they get refused because, and I'm not sure if I've ever discussed this before when talking about Ghostbusters, is that they actually work with Walter Peck now.
Because after,
yeah, what happened, like the fallout from the second movie, New York kept basically kind of like didn't buy the Ghostbusters, but brought them under regulation. So now that's it's actually called like Peacock or something stupid as the abbreviation, but or something like that. Whereas the Walter Peck is the liaison between New York City and the Ghostbusters, and he like runs them so that they're within all the codes,
right?
And they have an ongoing contract with the city, like for set prices. Like it's like you will fix stuff at the city level. And here's your commission. Here's what you're, you know, this is like, they hashed out. It's right. Like a real franchise type thing. Like, they hashed out all this stuff. And then they can do normal jobs for normal people as at will. And so Walter Peck's character is like, no, you know, you're not buying the Ghostbusters. But will the city will lease them to you or, like, give you your own little mini contract for it. But during, like a fight with one of the ghosts, Egon gets hurt. So he can't go with them. Well, so the rest of them, Peter, Winston, and Ray, go abroad. Like they go to Italy and then I think Germany and the France at one point. And there's some really fun stories, really cool stuff. Like they have to fight ghosts in the Louvre and there's all kinds of funniness with the artwork. Meanwhile, on the home front, Egon is researching all this weird data that's been coming in. And along with some of the stuff that Ray's sending him from their missions out in Europe. And Ray's cult still exists. He has a...
There's a cult bookstore, you mean?
A cult bookstore, yeah, sorry.
Bookstore.
And he has an assistant named Kaylee that's prominent in the comics. And so, like I said, it definitely takes up after the movies and explains a lot of stuff. And so while they're on their way home from Europe... Egon gets a visit from, like, basically this ghost demon-y kind of guy who is the big boss that was over top of the Swedish guy that was trying to buy them in the first place and then sent them abroad because it's all this big ruse to try and get this ancient book, which Egon
it's
was kind of...
It's an ancient book.
Yeah, Egon was kind of figuring that out himself.
Yeah.
Because he was doing all the research.
Is that a green or an orange Slimer?
Sort of. So what happens is... Egon, like, he's basically the guy's like, hey, you do this for me and I'll answer some questions or I'll give you something, basically. Mm-hmm. And Egon's like, no, I'm not going to do what you want. That book's way too powerful. And basically, from what they say, the book is supposed to be so powerful that it can control the devil.
Oh, wow.
And so that's, but they realized, you know, ancients realized it was too powerful and they buried it and all this stuff.
Right.
So the ghost just makes Egon disappear. Like, you're not sure if, like, I assumed they sent him to some other dimension. It's like, you can think about it and, like, flicks him away. But one of the nice things is, in prior issues, that it was established that, at least at Egon's place, there's, like, a live, he's constantly recording his apartment. And if any paranormal activity triggers in his apartment, the video live streams and records to the the fire station. So when they got back, they see what happens to Egon.
Okay.
And so they're like, what are we going to do? We have to figure out, is he dead? Is he disintegrated or whatever? And then it's really funny. I think Kaylee's the one that thought of it. And she's like, wait, because they go to...
Wasn't she one of the Ghostbusters in the ladies' team?
No, she...
She looks like she did. But anyway.
Yeah, she does help. She is a Ghostbuster in the one part where the Ghostbusters are literally in like, sort of like a limbo dimension.
Uh-huh.
And it's like her, Janine, the Hispanic... FBI agent woman and the guy who made the Ghost Smashers team by bootlegging the equipment.
Oh.
All this is in the Ghostbusters comic storyline.
Right.
So the FBI agent is in town, and her and Kaylee go to Egon's apartment to research, like, to see if they can find clues.
Mm-hmm.
They listen to his files, blah, blah, blah. They find a book, like, of his notes, but no one can read it. Like, even Ray has problems because Egon just leaves stuff out. And she and Kaylee's like, yeah, no one can figure this out. You know, like, only Egon can read this. And then she's like, wait, that's right. Only Egon can read this. Mm-hmm. And so they open the portal and go to the ghost, the real Ghostbusters dimension, and get the cartoon Ghostbuster Egon.
Nice.
To come back to there to read it.
Right.
And so I'm like, oh, that's so brilliant. Because, like, we've established, thanks to the Turtles crossover,
right,
that they have a working dimensional portal.
Right.
Well,
right.
Semi-working. Yeah. They joke around how unstable it is. So they bring him back. He reads it, and he's like, oh, yeah, I can. This is clear as day.
Right.
And he translates parts of it. And it kind of ends off with the assistant of, I'm sorry, I don't know the guy's name, but the blonde Swedish guy that was trying to recruit them, she shows up, and she's like, here's the deal. My bosses are evil, apparently. They want you to find this book, you know, and if you do, they'll get you Egon back. But you can't trust them.
Very angel style.
Yeah, like, it's like, you can't do anything. Like, she tells them, don't trust them, but this is right. What they told me to tell you this.
Right.
You know, and they're like, well, how can we trust her and all this stuff. But it's really good storytelling, and it's really fun. Lots of good humor. I still strongly recommend the Ghostbusters titles. Any of them start with, like I said, pick up the trade paperback at any of your NDCs. Look for Volume 1, Man in the Mirror, Man from the Mirror. And then go from there.
It's cool that they tell you, like, how to read it. There.
It's really cool. Yeah, it's like you can see all the different trades, all the way up through.
Reader's guide.
Yeah, all the way up through Ghostbusters International.
Right. All right, cool. My second book is Snot Girl Number 2 by Brian Lee O'Malley and Leslie Hung. So this book, the first book, was crazy at the end.
Right.
This book just picks up where she's like, she just wakes up and she's like, I'm ruined. I messed everything up. Oh my God. How did I get home? And then, like, she goes through, like, a 10-day span of trying to figure out what actually happened and, like, why no one's reporting this girl dead.
Right.
And all this craziness. And she's finding more and more things about, like, her former intern. And, like, all this craziness. And, like, the chick who, like, fell in the bathroom, like, hasn't blogged at all, but they all know that she's like this new blogger, and they're like, oh, she doesn't even need to blog every day. Like, this is awesome. And they're just like, she's just like, what? What's going on? And like, so she goes through, like, and she starts to pin together that Charlene, her old intern, is like, somehow she has to be part of whatever's going on because she's dating her ex. She was the barista at the coffee place where she met the other girl, and she was also at that bar.
Mm.
So then she runs into her ex, and she's like, oh, crap, oh, crap. So she leaves. Like, they're still trying to figure it out, and then somebody's posting pictures of Snot Girl before she had green hair.
Okay.
Somewhere, and then she realizes that, that Charlene put milk in her latte, and she's allergic to milk. She's lactose intolerant. Okay. And then all of a sudden, like, Cool Girl sends her a couple texts and was like, yo, miss you, Snotty. That was fun the other night. Let's just do it again. And then, It has, like, an emoji of two girls dancing, like, two girls hanging out. One's a devil, one's an angel.
Mm.
And then, like, she sends her a picture of the two of them hanging out, and she's like, I don't even remember this picture being taken. So she's kind of freaking out, like, what? Someone knows?
Mm-hmm.
So then it cuts to the police department, and this new guy, this new detective named John Cho, who is no relation to beloved actor John Cho.
Okay.
Is on there. And apparently he's, like, really good at fashion. okay. And he looks really good. So I guess, like, they were, like, person of interest number one is Lottie Person. Mm-hmm. And that's, like, Snot Girl. But they're like, but you don't quite know which end actually was real because you're like, so did the girl die? Or did someone just take the chick's phone? Or how are they hiding this? or whatever, because if there's a suspect and she's a suspect, what is she suspect of?
Right.
Is really the question.
Yeah.
So
that seems like a really weird
this
story.
Book, like, it's very topsy-turvy and it's interesting to say the least, because I was like, the first one was kind of boring, and then like the end was like, what? This is great. This one was just, it wasn't as awesome at the end, but it was very much like, what is going on?
Right.
So you're kind of like intrigued at this point. So it's kind of like a, well, I guess I'm going to read issue 3 to try, hopefully figure out what's going on.
Right. Well, if they were smart, then of course they wouldn't tell you in issue
3. Right.
They just drop pieces,
but drag along and drag it enough along
that you don't give up. Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. Right.
That's the line you got to tread.
Right. Right. So. Yeah, that's pretty much my second book. It was pretty good. Stock Girl, check it out.
Okay. My second book for the week is Darkwing Duck, issue 4. once again, I like the Darkwing Duck comic series. I have a lot of the volumes in trade. This one, last time I reviewed Darkwing, I believe I was talking about it was the number one because it was the locked in their version of like Arkham, their penitentiary with all the supervillains, and that ended really. That was a really fun run, but that's over with, and now it's just like sort of like a standalone issue,
right?
And really, he's just, you know, they don't. I think they probably referenced the jail thing once or something, but it's just Darkwing being Darkwing, you know, fighting crime,
right?
And this time the villain is Gnatmare. It's a little tiny gnat with like super strength.
Oh wow!
And he's faced him before, and so now he's like, oh, you know, basically they bill it as like he's like the toughest villain because he's so super strong,
right,
and so tiny.
He's like Ant-Man.
Yeah, exactly. So you can't hit him, but he can smack you like a freight train. And so Darkwing just keeps getting his butt kicked the entire issue. And Goslin tries to help by using the helmet of one of the older, the helmet of Bugmaster from a different villain. So because Darkwing kind of has like the Batcave trophy room,
mm-hmm,
of some of his villains. And so
it's actually called something. I think it tells you right there.
What?
The secret, just the secret lair of Darkwing Duck.
Yeah.
I thought it actually had a name if I remember right. But
no, yeah.
My bad.
And so it basically just lets her contact all the insects around her, and she, you know, focuses on the Gnatmare, and, you know, you see him like he's just a little punk gnat getting pushed around by everybody, but then he gets zapped by like the special beam. But from the Steelbeak's trying to use to give his workers super strength, and it, mm-hmm, keeps like killing them and turning them to dust and stuff. But it actually works on the gnat. And, you know, and then he's like, get out of my head, and like stops the connection. And it's like, it's just there's nothing special about it. It's like a fun issue. It's good. It's just, if you like the Darkwing Duck cartoon series, it's what it is.
Holds
it's like
pretty true.
Yeah, it's just an issue. It's just an episode.
That's cool.
You know, everyone.
It looks very,
like,
very, very good.
Like, it does. The artwork
the art
is very bright, vibrant,
super
good detail.
Like reminiscent.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not like hyper detailed or anything. It's comic, but it's cartoony.
Right.
But it looks like the cartoon. You know, it's really good. So, you know, it's not something that I'm like, oh my god, you have to go out and get it. Like, because the first issue, I would definitely get the first arc because that was really fun. Mm-hmm. But this is still a good continuation as it's just a Darkwing Duck story that's enjoyable.
That's awesome. All right, my last book is Divinity Number 2, Number 4. Divinity 2, Number 4. by Matt Kent, Trevor Harrison, Ryan Wynn, and David Barron. So each Divinity book is a 4-part series. And this one like wraps the whole thing up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because you have Mishka and Abraham like basically like fighting through time. And she's trying to stop him, or he's trying to stop her, trying to rewrite time, because he knows that no matter what you do, everything's got to be the same.
Okay.
So, like, because she just wants, like, a better life and wants all this different stuff to happen. So they basically, like, are flying through time, and they show, like, sketches of different parts they were at. And eventually she kind of gives up. And, Unity shows up, like they're just like hanging out.
Okay.
And they're like looking into what's going on. And at the end of it, it's like they show like Mishka and Abraham like in an alternate universe, and then like they show like her history again where she got like this locket. And then he like is he ends up being the guy that gave her the locket instead of the homeless guy. Like, and then it kind of ends with like a different ending. Like he kind of lets her change one thing so that she becomes happy, or she realizes that she needed to do this thing to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And then it leads into the Divinity 3, which comes in December. And it's Stalinverse. So like all the things they changed became like where Stalin ended up taking over. And like if you look at the Bloodshot in there and the Rye and the Exo in there, they're all like different color. It's very interesting to see. But there's some really cool like commemorative art or commentary on some of the art frames, like in the back by Matt Kent and all those guys. That's really, really sweet. This is probably like one of the best Valiant books to come out in like the last 5 years. Like this Divinity series has just been awesome. The first one was great. This one's been super good. I can't really say anything bad about it because like it's short and it's to the point and it's very it draws you in enough to where you're just like, what? Like, like unlike Snot Girl, where I said like it's kind of drawing you in, but then it's like left fieldy.
Right.
This is just intriguing the whole time.
Okay.
So you're kind of just like, what is going on? What? Oh, what? Yeah. So I kind of dig it. I like it a lot. I recommend it. Divinity 2, number 4. The trade will probably be out pretty soon. They usually come out fairly quickly.
Right.
Yeah. Check that out.
Cool.
Yep.
All right. So my last book, Scooby Apocalypse number 4. So as everyone knows that's been listening, I love Scooby Apocalypse. It's a fantastic book. Now, having said that, number 4, I don't know. It's, you know, like 1 and 2 and 3 were just awesome because, you know, all the nods and like, oh, the mystery machine and the clever wording of stuff. Number 4 starts to slow down a little bit for me. It's like it almost kind of gets repetitious because
mystery machine running out of gas.
Yeah, so it's like it's almost so they're still on the run trying to figure out what's going on, and I think I get that's where they're taking it because this is all I think they explain like time in here a little bit, so like jumps it's not more than a couple, like they're still within like I think 2 days of this whole happening,
right?
You know, so 4 issues, but it's only like 2-3 days.
Right.
They're still in the mystery machine. They stopped once again to try and get food or something like that.
Right.
And it almost reads like the pacing is almost exactly the same as issue 3, where it's like they stop, there's dialogue, they get jumped by monsters, they fight them, they say, oh, let's hope that doesn't happen again, and there's a monster in the shadow looking at them. Like, that's literally exactly how they beat for beat, they did it again. And that's a little like, you know, okay.
Right.
Like, I don't know if they're trying to do that as like a fun, like an inside nod to the cartoon, how the cartoon was kind of the same pattern.
Yeah.
And that's clever, but when you're reading it, you're like, well, okay. The redeeming part of it is though, is still the dialogue and the character development is still there.
Right.
So it's still really interesting and really well written. The creative team is Giffen, DeMatteis, Porter, and Hi-Fi. I don't know if Hi-Fi is a person, or if that's
something else. Yeah. And then Jim Lee, I think, did the cover art on the regular one.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So,
or was it Jay Lee? It's one of the Lees.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, and even then, within the storyline, it's still, it's you gotta kind of tell yourself the time frame because there's still the back and forth between the girls of like Daphne blaming Velma for all this and Velma being like, look, I said I didn't do this, you know, oh, you're keeping secrets. And it's like, okay, we get it. You don't have to like, but it's only been like a day, you know, like 2 days. So like you would still be, this is all your fault.
Right.
You know, you're one of these scientists, you worked for them, blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, it's like, okay. And then it's weird because, but there is movement on that. It's like, it keeps coming back. But Daphne apologizes at one point for blaming her all the time. And Velma's like, it's okay. I don't really have friends. I don't really interact with people very well.
Right.
You know, just thank you for just talking. You know, and there's like a little moment where they kind of start to have a friendship.
Uh-huh.
You know, and Velma even calls Shaggy a friend. And Daphne calls her out on that.
Oh,
it's
man.
Like, wait, he's like, he's your friend now? It's like, well, I don't
what
really
about
have
me?
Friends. But,
right.
You know, he was always polite, and you know, everyone else is just talked to me because I was the boss, and you know, Shaggy's like decent or whatever.
Right.
So it's still good. It just doesn't have that awesome wow factor that the first three did when you read it.
Right,
this is hilarious, and it's so much more mature, and it's
so this is the first one to kind of dip a little.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Still not bad. Absolutely recommend picking up number one, and checking it out just for the uniqueness of it and stuff like that.
Right.
But we'll have to see how if it just stays at level issue four, still a fantastic story. If it starts to continue down and get more boring and more repetitive with the formula, then I'll probably stop reading it. But if this is just sort of like a, hey, we're still setting up the characters and trying to, you know, slow this down, that's fine.
That's cool. All right. Well, there's so many new releases that came out in between now and the last time we did this that, you know, I can't really talk to them all. But Afterlife with Archie is finally coming back with this time with Josie and the Pussycats in the run.
Oh, geez.
Some kind of cool.
Is it a continuation or is it just
Afterlife
with Josie and the Pussycats?
No. As far as I understand, it's still
whoever survived the first one meets
and the second one. Okay. It's like a third volume is starting in issues. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Doctor Strange Origin trade is pretty sweet. There's a lot of new books.
The Batman Turtles team up trade.
This is
came
some
out.
Stuff that's coming out this week, actually. Like so Gem and the Holograms. Let's see. What is Monty the Dinosaur? Oh, it's an Action Lab book. Cool. Sounds cool. Go check it out. The Flash Gordon pop vinyls are coming out.
Okay.
The Golden Girls will also be here this week.
Oh, okay.
So make sure that you come out and get them.
For grandma and stuff.
Antonio Brown.
Okay.
Totally cool. Spider-Gwen 11. Superman and Lois. Superman, Lois, and Clark. So the end of the new 52 run of that.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be coming out in trade, so you can catch up before you read the newer stuff. Exo Manowar, World of Tanks, X-Files Origins 1, a couple other cool things. Looks like kind of a small week, nothing crazy, but definitely go checking out your local LCS, which is local comic shop, if you didn't know that.
Oh, look at you throwing out industries, acronyms.
So
that I did not know.
Right. So I forgot to mention this, and I had got a text from Ryan, so I had to talk to him about it. So this Wednesday is the day that we get to open the Valiant 4001 AD briefcase secrets.
Right.
So we don't know what's in it. I think Ryan might, but we don't. I know he watched he was like, I watched an unboxing, and blah, 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 and I'm like, whatever. I was like, don't tell me. I don't want to know.
Right.
So what we're going to do is on this coming Wednesday at the Mills location, and I think one of the other stores might be doing this too, but I know here at the Mills, all Valiant books, all Valiant soft covers, hard covers, floppies off the wall, 20% off all day.
Oh, nice.
All day Wednesday.
That's awesome.
And if you spend, I forget how much he said, but if you spend X amount of dollars after the discount, you're going to get one of the things in the box.
Ooh.
So I want to say it's going to be under $20, or like $20 might be the max, but like $20 after discount might be 10. I don't know. You'd have to call tomorrow and ask Ryan. This coming Wednesday, so the last day of August, last day of August, so 31st, 20% off all Valiant stuff all day long at the Mills. And then if you spend so much money in there, you get like something out of the case, which like I am going to be really mad that I'm missing because I'm going to be in Baltimore for the Diamond Summit.
And Valiant, like as a comic publisher, I know it's been around for quite some time, but it's the resurgence in the last few years has had some really quality storylines.
Stuff, yeah.
Yeah, like I've heard a lot of good things about a lot of like, you know,
their Exo Manowar is the longest thing that they haven't stopped running.
Oh, yeah?
And they just printed the 1,000,000th copy of Exo Manowar ever made.
Wow.
Like, so they're counting online sales, and they're counting paper sales, and I think it's just since the relaunch.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's issue, like, 54 or 45. It's one of the two. I can't remember.
Okay.
Actually, hold on. I just had that. Where did it go? But they had like this whole like video of like Rob Venditti like grabbing it and like off the press line and
nice.
All this stuff. It was kind
of
cool. It
should be like signed by a bunch of people and then auctioned off or something.
Right, right. Oh, it's 49. So that was kind of interesting. I was close. I was close. So, all right. So over the weekend, I went to WV PopCon down in Morgantown. It was a ton of fun. Mm-hmm. It was a really good small local show. Like there were some really cool creators there, like Steve Geiger, Justin Jordan, Reefer, who does a lot. He's doing the A&A book for Valiant right now.
Okay.
Who else was there? Man. Jason Lennox, Paul Michaels, Greg Leonard, both of the Knobs, and Scott Hedlund was there. He's a good friend of ours. Yeah.
And our DJ own Mills Kaufman. And our own Mills Rachel with her website with first, Key Issues.
Or Key Issues. That's right, Key Issues.
Yes.
So I was like, oh, look at that. You got shirts made.
I know. They had a table. I saw the pictures. Cool. It looked really awesome. Like
her boyfriend kept coming over and being like, do you have any manga? And I'd be like, no. And he'd be like, ah, table flip. So like every time he'd come over, it became like a running joke throughout the weekend. He'd come over and be like, do you have this? And be like, nope. And he'd be like, ah, table flip. but Brian's real cool. We had a good time. Like we just kind of hung out with everybody. And mm-hmm. And Chris Enott was there. He did our show before too. But it was a good time. If you haven't done it, it's really like under $10 to get in per day.
Oh, wow.
Like it was super good. Great deal. Really easy to find just off the interstate.
Sorry, I was yawning again.
No, it's cool. It's really easy to find just off the interstate. I was really impressed by the little community center they had it in mm-hmm. that they could fit all that stuff. It was really kind of neat. We had a good time. And while I was there, I was talking to Jason about his new book. Jason Lennox has put out a new book. It's on Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm.
It's Lords of the Cosmos, and it is like a 1980s inspired comic book.
Okay.
So like when you look at the preview art, it's like Deathstroke meets like the Crypt Keeper meets like big shoulder armor meets like Omega Red, like whippy arm thing, but like multiple whips.
Interesting.
Right? So far, they've raised around $900 with mm-hmm. 28 more days to go.
What's our goal?
The goal is $2,800. So they still got some time.
Yeah.
They have 33 backers right now. But it's a sci-fi fantasy book, and fans of He-Man, Thundercats, Heavy Metal, Conan, and Flash Gordon will like it.
Okay.
Which
an interesting spectrum there.
Right? And it's kind of cool. It's like space barbarian stuff. It's kind of neat. I kind of dug it. You can check it out at Kickstarter, and you can actually like see some of the sketches, like what's included when you pledge for number one. It's kind of cool. Like Jason does really good art. I've always been a fan of his, and I'm pretty excited to see his project get off the ground.
Awesome. Yeah, if that sounds like something you're into, then go check it out and support it.
Right. All right. So the one thing we did not. We that happened in between the last two is Suicide Squad came out.
Oh, okay.
So we're going to talk about this for a minute, and it's been out long enough that, you know what, we're going to use spoilers because you people should have already seen this movie. Maybe if some of these spoilers, maybe some of these spoilers will get you to think about it.
Harley Quinn's really a man. Oh, spoiler,
what?
Sorry. No.
Spoiler. So... I liked it better than Superman Batman.
Okay. I think I've heard that. Like right? I did not see it myself. So okay.
It was okay. I thought Harley was really annoying.
Okay.
Say
why. I think you told me why.
So why is like they basically just had her use her catchphrases, but every time she referred to the Joker, so the one time excuse me, jeez. The one time that she calls him Mr. J, it's before she gets electroshocked, but it could be like that sign of where she's starting to crack. I don't know. They kind of didn't play that part very well. I was like, okay. And then she calls him Puddin' like 10 more times throughout the movie. Okay. She never calls him anything else. And I'm like, so why wouldn't she say Mr. J. Moore? Why wouldn't she call him Joker? Why wouldn't she call him something else? Like, she literally calls him Puddin' the entire rest of the movie.
Wow. Although, to be fair, I've heard that he's not really in it that much.
He's not, and that's the problem.
Right.
Like, but I thought he was actually a pretty okay Joker. Like, I didn't have any problems with him. It took me the second time seeing it to really enjoy him. I thought the first time seeing it, it was a little, like, he didn't have enough time. But the second time, I was like, all right, that's cool. And I think I was too focused on some of the Easter eggs that were kicking through the first time.
Okay.
Which were a lot of him and Harley's backstory. There's some cool, like you see her in the full black and red Harley Quinn outfit.
Nice.
And they're doing the ballroom dancing, like the... the
cover.
Why can't... Right? Yeah, it's a cover of Harley Quinn 1, the Alex Ross cover.
Okay, that right.
And, like... You know, in one, he's wearing a white tux like he would in Dark Knight. And then he's driving a purple Lamborghini like he did in All-Star Batman. And, like, he's wearing the same tux from the Alex Ross thing in another scene. And he does these things that, like, Joker would do. I definitely felt it was a little more, like, All-Star Batman gangstery style.
Right.
Versus any of the previous ones we've seen. Which I was okay with because I don't like it when somebody tries to copy somebody else, and I don't like it when it's not noticeably the character anymore. And some people think, like, I hate people that get it in their heads. It's like, there's only this kind of person for me, and it's like, because, like, let's face it, like, not everybody liked Heath Ledger's Joker.
Right.
Shoot me now if you think I'm a blasphemy for saying it, but he. Did very well. He was the kind of Joker that I always imagined in my head, but Jack Nicholson also did very well as a Joker, and so did he, or so did Jared Leto. I thought he did all right.
See, I disagree on quite a bit of that. Like, to me,
I only have one Joker in my mind.
No, well, so. Yeah, if you want to go that way, it's Mark Hamill, but
right,
no, because, like, Jack Nicholson was just Jack Nicholson in face paint. Really, he wasn't the Joker.
There were a couple times fun. Where you were like,
he was just. Being like, he didn't even, I swear to God, he probably didn't even know what the Joker was. He's like, why am I putting all this makeup on me? Fine, whatever, I'll say these lines.
Right.
But
he was a little more like the Batman 66 one.
A little bit.
You know, like the one from the old show.
Yeah, and
Cesar Romero. That's the same.
Heath Ledger's Joker, I loved just because, I mean, just from an acting perspective, it was fantastically done.
Yeah.
And it fit the movies, which I didn't like the movies, but. He was like, for me, the second movie, that's like when he was on screen, I loved, which, what was it,
Batman Rises.
Batman Rises. I loved
Dark Knight
it.
Rises.
When it wasn't, it was like, okay, this is just
Dark Knight. Sorry, just Dark Knight.
Oh, Rises is the third
Rises
one?
Is the third one.
Okay, so yeah, Dark Knight. When he was in Dark Knight, it was like, this is fantastic. When he wasn't on screen, I'm like, this is kind of boring. But
I agree.
To me, he wasn't the Joker. He was just this, like, everything about it, the grunge, stupid anarchy, which I know Joker is anarchy. But it wasn't the Joker to me at all.
Anarchy is a completely separate character, Brian.
Yeah. So.
Although they are saying that he might be the son of the Joker now.
Okay.
Well, anyway.
Yeah.
I agree.
But I mean,
though,
I still,
like,
appreciate his portrayal. It just wasn't the Joker at all. It was just a crazy guy that was done really, really well.
That was actually the only part of Dark Knight I liked was him.
Yeah.
That was the only
same.
Like that. I thought that it was the second best movie because I thought Batman Begins was the only one that was actually a Batman movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought the only reason that Dark Knight was good was because of the Joker. And that was it. Like, he stole the show.
Absolutely.
And the third movie, I thought it was Catwoman the whole time.
I never even bothered to
see
it.
I think she stole the show. Like Bane was not very well done. Everything else about it I didn't really like. But I thought that the way they did Catwoman was... like the way I would always imagine her in my head when, like, you know, I could hear her talking and that's what it sounds like in my head. But anyway, back to Suicide Squad. I thought that Will Smith was Will Smith playing Deadshot.
Right. That's what I've heard.
Which wasn't terrible, but it definitely was like, you're just Will Smith playing Deadshot. I like the attitude of Captain Boomerang, but I hated his outfit. Mm-hmm. I liked El Diablo, but I thought his character was way too predictable.
Okay.
And I thought the Enchantress looked like she was 15, because she's like some supermodel.
Okay.
But she looked really young. Like, it was a little hard to believe right. in my head that you're like this archaeologist chick that, you know, found this crazy witch spirit, you know. I thought the outfits in all the way around, though, were kind of cool. Harley's was a little slutty, but whatever.
Yeah.
That's what they were going for.
Of course.
But I thought the outfits all around were pretty good, except Cap Boomerang's. His was terrible. But everybody else looked the part. But Amanda Waller stole the show, man.
Really?
Holy cow. Like, she was spot on in my head. Like, the Amanda Waller on Arrow is all right. She's all right. But, like, Viola Williams is a cold-hearted bitch. And, or at least can play a super good cold-hearted bitch.
Right, right.
And, man, is Amanda Waller a cold-hearted bitch. And yeah. she, like there's a scene, and for those people who've seen it, it's the scene where, like, Deadshot walks into the tower and they're ready to save her.
Mm-hmm.
And those people will know the scene I'm talking about, because that's the scene that you either love Amanda Waller or you hate her.
Mm.
Because that solidified it for me. And for Chip, he was like, no, she would never do that. I'm like, bull. She would totally do exactly what she did there. And it was awesome. And because, like, that's just how she rolls. But I thought the Enchantress plotline of being like the ending up being the big bad
mm-hmm.
was kind of weak. Because it was like, we're going to roll into this really quickly, and then we're just going to have this thing happening over here in the background. Like, oh, look at the giant beam in the sky with all the trash around it. I wonder if that's where we're going to end up going. No, we're going to this other place to rescue this person. Oh, so we're not going to the giant beam in the sky? No. Screw you, Rick Flag. You lied. We all know you're going there. Come right. on. So they end up going, and... like, the final fight scene was pretty cool, but it was really funny because, like, so Enchantress is, like, making this weapon mm-hmm. out of magic, like, and as she's doing it, she's, like, whipping her arms around and kind of, like, she looks like she's at a rave, like, dancing. Like, you could tell that they were just, like, just dance it out. It's fine. Just dance it out. So she's, like, dancing the whole time, and it's, like, super funny.
Well, you can't use your arms because Scarlet Witch already has that down.
Right.
With the
oh, no. She's kind of doing that, but not, but like way faster and more flamboyantly. Like, it's just like way out there. And like seriously, if you watch it and like just put on some house music, you're going to be like, oh my God, she's just like, where's her glow sticks?
Yeah.
You know, like
the magic around her.
So. And what she's wearing would totally be something you'd wear to a rave if you were to dance like that.
Right.
And try to pretend you were making magic.
Right.
Because you're probably way high on E. Anyway, or Molly, or whatever they're doing, whatever the kids are doing these days.
Right.
But all overall, it was definitely a step in the right direction. I feel that the Easter eggs, there were more Easter eggs in this movie than any of the other ones that weren't just the same stuff.
Okay.
Like, the same, like in Superman of Steel, the Easter eggs you saw were basically like the same stuff. It was, the Easter eggs were his background story.
Oh, right.
And they weren't anything that hasn't been shown before, except for, like, the saving the bus that fell in the river.
Mm-hmm.
And there were, like, a couple other small things. But it was, like, and how Pa Kent dies, mm-hmm. you know. But in Batman Superman, a lot of the background flashes were, like, Batman's story. And we all know, you know, the story. We're like, oh, you're doing the he fell down a well and there were bats. And that's what made him decide Batman. Oh, why is he levitating? So it is what it is, but I think the Easter eggs in this one were just so much better with all like the way they did the flashbacks. Like, Captain Colts has the Flash in it, which was kind of cool. And I actually was like, all right, the outfit doesn't look that bad.
Okay.
And there's a couple flashbacks with Batman in it. Mm-hmm. Obviously there's a mid credit scene that's ties to Justice League. And okay, so the mid credit scene, the Justice League tie-in is like Amanda Waller talking to Batman. This right. has been online forever, so yeah, whatever. Everybody's at least watched it.
Yeah.
So the conversation at the bar after WV PopCon became, does everyone know that he's Batman? Like, does he, like, do a Tony Stark and just, like, by the way, I'm Batman? Like,
well, does she, like...
Like, because it seems like, because she makes a comment, like, you should stop working nights.
Yeah, yeah, I've heard
and
that.
Like,
okay.
And when you look at the Justice League trailer, he's not Batman recruiting other people. He's Bruce Wayne recruiting other people.
That is true.
So it's like, why Bruce Wayne would never do that. This conversation started here at the store, and then we kind of like kept it going at the bar. But it was like, Bruce Wayne would never be like, I'm building a team, Aquaman. Wink, wink, hint, hint.
Right.
Arthur.
Yeah, that's a very good
By
point.
The way, didn't our dads are Thomas.
But yeah,
I totally show you that name. No, so, yeah. Like, it was definitely weird. I was like, Batman would know who all these people are anyway. He would already have everything on him, and he would go recruit him as Batman.
Yeah. Like, that's a very good point.
Yeah. You know, and, like, I didn't think about that until someone said, I think it was Rachel that actually said that. And I was like, that's really a good point. Like, I can't not...
That, now that you said it, now I'm thinking, why did I not realize that?
I'm like, man.
That's so dumb he wouldn't go as Bruce Wayne.
Right. Like, why would he go as Bruce
what
Wayne?
If someone said no? Like...
No, and I'm going to out you as Batman.
Yeah.
Well... Right? Or is he just like, well, you know what? People are probably going to know that I'm Batman at the end of this anyway, because I'm probably going to get my ass kicked. Or maybe they know because of the end of Batman Superman. I don't know. But it was definitely a weird thing to
Here's the thing, though. Like, maybe this, I've only seen the trailer once, but it's like when he is there for the Flash,
yeah,
the Flash doesn't seem to realize who he is.
Like, I don't think he even knows Bruce Wayne at all.
I don't think he even knows he's Bruce Wayne. He's like, why is some guy in my basement?
Yeah, exactly.
And then he throws the batarang, and then he realizes it's Batman.
Well,
he
says, my name is Bruce Wayne. I'm here to talk to you about blah, 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 blah. And then he throws the batarang, and then you see him go, oh, crap, this is Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so he did. So, no. Like,
right.
So maybe not everybody knows, because that would be, like, worldwide news if
right.
the bat becomes outed.
But, like, he goes to talk to Arthur, and he's just, like, getting slammed up against the wall, and he's doing it in front of, like, all these people. He's looking for him.
Yeah.
So it's like, if everybody's like, why is... Oh, it's like, we had reports of Bruce Wayne being in this tiny little town looking for some dude. Oh, that dude happened to be Aquaman.
Right.
Oh, then Aquaman's hanging out with Batman. I wonder. Yeah. Like, you know, it's like, people aren't that dumb. Come on.
Yeah, right.
So.
But did you see that post on Facebook? Clayton tagged me in it, and I bring this up because it's relevant.
Yeah.
The Kryptonian glasses.
No.
It's so great. It's like, it's just a shot of Clark Kent with his glasses on from the comic, or taking
right.
them off. And it's like, supposedly, now maybe this is just a joke, I don't know, but it sounds totally like something DC would do,
uh-huh.
is that at one point they established that the glasses were Kryptonian and enhanced his natural hypnosis ability. So that's why no one could tell that he was Superman when he wore the glasses.
Oh, man.
And it's like, oh, my God, are you seriously going to reach for it that hard?
Oh, man. You know what? Like, that kind of makes sense, because they haven't really ever talked about the hypnosis stuff in a long time.
Right.
And they don't really ever discuss it anymore. Like, I don't think it's been brought up in the last millennia.
Right. It's one of his, like, weirdo powers from, like, when they were just giving him everything, like rainbow mini me's from my fingers and stuff. Like,
I think it wasn't rainbow mini me's. It was like,
well, there was
something
rainbow,
to do with rainbow.
And then there was a different one where he shot mini versions of himself.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they've given him all kinds of weird ass powers.
Right. Yeah, it was really interesting. But
and I just bring it up because of the whole, like, oh, people aren't that stupid. And it's right. like, well, it's because apparently DC thinks they are.
Well, I mean, to be fair, he didn't fly for the first, like, 20 issues or something.
Right. It was just leaping over
and
buildings.
Yeah, and, like, he didn't have super, like, what was it, like, or it was, like, 11 issues? No, 11 was, I think, first Heat Vision. So, like, they were developing, like, all this random stuff throughout the years. And, like, some of it, like, yeah, we're never going to do that again. But
right.
other ones, like, yeah, that worked. That worked all right.
That's
we'll
fun.
Keep that.
Let's
yeah. Because, like, I remember when Solar Flare came out, they were like, this is his first new power in, like, 60 years or something.
Yeah.
And it was like, what?
Right.
Because I think his last new power, I don't think they counted the electric Superman, though, in there. Because he had slightly different powers. He could, like, manifest energy.
Yeah.
But it was, like, the last Superman power as Superman before that was, like, Like Freeze Breath, I think, was like his last one that he ended up keeping. Right. But it was weird.
Yeah.
Good time. But anyway, Suicide Squad's good.
Yeah.
You should go check it out. There's a really cool scene where they test Deadshot's abilities.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it is probably one of the best scenes in the whole movie. Like, and you could tell Will Smith did a lot of training with handguns and weapons to nail that.
Sweet.
And man, was it good.
Awesome.
It was so good. So good. So.
I'll have to rent it at some point.
Yeah. It was definitely worth like the $5 movie. I did not see it in 3D. I don't really care about 3D a lot. So.
Yeah.
But it was fun. It's definitely fun. I'm trying to think if there's anything else.
Yeah, anything big nerd culture being released or teased. I can't really think of anything.
Me either. Because we already talked about Killing Joke.
Mm-hmm.
And that was pretty much...
I mean... Like, there is big stuff, but it's all more video game related because,
right.
You know, comics and pop culture was July with Comic-Con.
Yeah.
And we talked about that stuff.
Right. I mean, the next step up would be...
New York Comic-Con.
New York Comic-Con and the shows that are coming back at the end of the month.
Right.
Like, everything starts up. Oh, did you see that on Supergirl? They're going to have Mon-El.
Really?
Yeah, like the other Superboy, like the Valor Superboy.
Yeah.
Or Valor Superman, depending on how you want to look at it. But he was always like one of my, like, I don't know, like guilty pleasure guys. Like, I was like, that's really cool because he's a Daxmite, so he's like part Kryptonian, but not really. Okay. And then his weakness is actually lead. So the lead that's in the air was hurting him, so they shoved him in the Phantom Zone. And then in the Legion of Superheroes, they realized that they could fix him to not do that. Like, it wouldn't hurt him.
Right.
So they pull him out of the Phantom Zone. And because of that, he then basically is more powerful than Superman because he no longer has the weakness to lead.
Right.
But Kryptonite doesn't affect him.
Wow.
So there was this really cool run right before the New 52 where Mon-El ended up becoming a Green Lantern. So now you have a Superman-level dude with a Green Lantern ring.
Seems a little unnecessary.
I was super excited. And the suit looked good. Like, everything was cool. But Mon-El's a really cool dude. I really enjoy him being kind of brought into that. There were a couple other guys that they mentioned, too. Man, I wish I could remember what they were, though. I read it real quickly the other day. There's Mon-El and Miss Martian. So Miss Martian will be on there, too. That's kind of cool.
Since you brought that up, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Why is it the Martian Manhunter, but he's a good guy? I don't get that at all. Why is he called Manhunter?
Because that's what he was. He was a Manhunter, like mercenary.
Oh, so he started out as a bad guy?
Well, no, on Mars he was. Like, but that's what he was. That's what he did.
Like,
know, he was a Manhunter then, and then he's also a detective. As his,
so he's like a bounty hunter on Mars.
He was like a bounty hunter on Mars, and then his whole race died, and he was like, "Screw this, I'm leaving." And he went to Earth, and he ended up like befriending a cop, and then the cop died, and he took over the cop's like whole thing. Like, he shapeshifted into the cop and became this cop. So he also was a manhunter because he was a cop. He was looking for bad guys. So okay. It was like the Martian Manhunter. You know?
Right.
I really liked the Martian Manhunter, too. He was always like an awkward, like, you know, people say he's A-level. I say he's probably B-level.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got a lot of history. He's pretty cool. Miss Martian being on there is kind of cool.
And she has the same powers, right, or no?
Sort of, because she's a white Martian. White Martian? He's a green Martian, she's a white Martian, or she's a red Martian. It's one or the other. And her powers are slightly different. That's why she has hair as well.
Okay.
But her powers are slightly different, but they both have a psychic ability to them.
Okay.
So, but she was always fun on like in like the Teen Titans and stuff like that. So, you know, she's pretty cool.
Well, I'm glad that Supergirl is like still going. I mean, that's
right.
Cool. Is it still on the same channel? Or did they get
moved? They moved it to the CW.
That's what
it's
going to
be on Mondays. And I think right now they're airing. It's either right now or pretty soon they're going to start re-airing the entire first season.
Hmm.
So you can watch it on Mondays and just kind of get into the groove.
Right.
And then, Flash and Arrow both start up. I think the end of this month.
September,
or,
you mean,
or beginning of September.
You really want it to be September, don't you?
I do. It's
this month. I want it to be this month. God,
you have no idea. I just want to want it to be done with. Actually, I want it to be October because that's like when my birthday is.
You want to get older?
Right. Well, season one of Supergirl starts actually, like it already started showing the reruns. So they're actually doing two in a row and they start tonight. How about that?
Oh, there you go. So, timing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of cool. Legends of Tomorrow. I don't know when that picks up, but the previews for that look really good. Yeah, I'm just trying to see when Arrow and Flash come back on.
Mm-hmm.
So give me 1 second, guys. Those are 15.
I'm surprised the Arrow is still going on, to be honest.
Jesus.
Sorry. What?
I can't do that. The CW website has like music and it just like blared in my ears.
Yeah.
I was like, what's going on? So I'm like, yeah, I'm not even looking anymore. But it starts sometime in September, if I remember right. Might be toward the end of September, beginning of October. Sweeps weeks. Because
yeah,
like Grey's Anatomy starts back on the 30th or the 21st.
How is that still going on, Jesus?
Dude. I know this has nothing to do with their things, but so Nicole, who works at the Elwood store, and I are huge Grey's Anatomy fans. Yeah, you can totally take that to the bank. Anyway, so we were talking the other day, and she's like, I heard this crazy rumor. And I'm like, oh, yeah? And she goes, yeah, there's a rumor that this season's going to be focused on, like, the original cast. So like, Christina's coming back. They're bringing back Izzy. I was like, what? Izzy was, what was her name? Her actual name. She was only on like the first couple seasons. She ended up like getting married to Alex for a while. She was married to this other dude who died of a heart attack. And then she got cancer and she like divorced Alex and left the show. Mm. And then she did a bunch of like Judd Apatow movies and, didn't do so hot in her movie career. Knocked Up. She was in Knocked Up. She was Seth Rogen's girl and the actual girl that was Knocked Up.
Okay.
I can't remember her name. But anyway, I was like, oh my God, if they bring her back, I'm just going to explode. That'll be great. Because like they killed off probably four or five of those people already.
Mm-hmm.
Like McDreamy's gone. George is dead. There's
always dream sequences.
There are. There are. And flashbacks.
Right.
But, like, it was weird to see people leave the show versus get killed.
Because
you're like, it was like one of those things where it was almost like in their contract, like, if they left the show, they were just going to die. So, like Isaiah Washington's character just left the show and he came back for Christina's farewell episode. And she actually ended up going to work for him or taking his spot in Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, she left the show versus got killed because she was like, the other main star. She's like, you know, Meredith's best friend. Yeah, I sound totally nerdy right here.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry, guys. Sorry. But anyway, I think that's about it. Go out to your local comic shop. We have a couple other events that are coming up in October and November to check out Halloween Comics Fest and Local Comic Shop Day. More to come on those later.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Thanks, guys.
Bye, everybody.